Allah Most High sent down the Quran in order to inform His ibad about Himself. Listen to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran in order to inform His ibad about Himself. Why? So that they know of Him. So that they know of Him. Of the way that leads to Him. Again. Of the way that leads to Him. It's not your way. It's not my way. It's not anybody's way. It is His way. He spoke of Himself to be known. And He also spoke of the way that leads to Him. And of the status of travelers to Him after their arrival. After their arrival. These are from the words of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah in his book Al-Fawa'id. In his book Al-Fawa'id, which means the benefits. The book of benefits. One of the great suwar. Suwar is a plural of surah, chapter. Of the Quran, one of the great surahs was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This great surah is Surah Al-Baqarah, which is the second surah of the Quran. In this great surah, there is an ayah, there is a verse, in which Allah, the Exalted, speaks about Himself and His attributes. This ayah is Ayat Al-Kursi. This ayah is Ayat Al-Kursi, which is highly distinguished because, number one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described as the greatest ayah in the Quran. The greatest ayah in the Quran. Second, in it, the most great name of Allah, Al-Ismul A'zam, Lillah, is mentioned. Third, it protects from shayateen, single shaitan, as in the authentic and famous hadith reporting the encounter of Abu Huraira with one of the shayateen, which we will discuss inshallah. This came mentioned in that particular hadith, that it protects from shayateen. Four, the believer who recites it following an obligatory salah is under the care and protection of Allah until the commencement of the next prayer. At-Tabarani reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who recites Ayat al-Kursi after the conclusion of an obligatory prayer, he is under the care of Allah Ta'ala until the next prayer commences. This came in At-Tabarani's collection of hadith known as At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib. Al-Hafidh Al-Mundhiri said, At-Tabarani reported it with a good chain of narration. Al-Haythami stated the same conclusion as in Majma' al-Zawaid. The fifth benefit. The one who recites it after each of the obligatory prayers, then death will be the only thing that is barrier preventing him from entering Al-Jannah. This hadith is reported in At-Tabarani, Ibn As-Sunni, Ibn Hibban and others. Ibn Hibban graded it as sahih, as in his book As-Salah. Al-Haythami said, At-Tabarani reported it in Al-Kabir, in his collection known as Al-Kabir and Al-Awsat, with different narrations. One of them is good. Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar said, its isnad is sahih, and Ibn al-Jawzi was inattentive when he reported it in his Mawdu'at, fabricated collection of a hadith. Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah authenticated it in his as-silsila sahiha, and said Ibn Kathir declared it as sahih in his tafsir. He noted that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's classification of this hadith as weak, as in his fatawa, appears to be made at the stage when he was beginning to seek knowledge. In fact, his student Imam Ibn al-Qayyim related that he, Ibn Taymiyyah, was reported to have said, I never relinquished to recite it after each obligatory salah. After detailing the various reports regarding this hadith, Ibn al-Qayyim commented, it has its basis and it is not mawdu', it's not fabricated. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, there is Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, there is no single ayah in the Quran which includes that which is comprised in ayat al-Kursi, as in his book Majmu' al-Fatawa. Because of the great importance of this ayah, I have decided after making istikhara to introduce the English speaking Muslim community or communities to the Salaf's tafsir of the words of Allah in this noble ayah. In this regard, I found that an excellent summarized explanation of its meaning by our Shaykh, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, hafizahullah, may Allah protect him, was published by Dar ibn al-Jawzi in Dammam in Saudi Arabia. I chose it because of the many major points of benefit it contains, and I also have added many other related benefits from the Sheikh's discussions in other books or treaties, and also from other discussions by the great Salafi scholars, as will be introduced. I have a point that I would like to refer to you inshallah, and that relates to the seekers of knowledge, how they should look at the writings of the scholars which may be spread in different books. Because sometimes people find a statement by a scholar in one book which could be general, or maybe generalized, the details of which could be found or may be found in another book which clears some certain generalities. So it's of paramount importance that the seekers of knowledge should try their best to review the scholarly works of the trusted Salafi ulama, and this applies to clarify what is generalized or not entirely clear in some of their statements, meaning that the seeker of knowledge should do some research. In addition, also it brings out points of benefit which otherwise may be missed. Unlike many of the so-called scholars, quote-unquote, whose books are filled with mystic terminology, whose explanation in the best cases may contain truth and falsehood, the ulama who follow the path of as-salafu as-salih do not intend confusion for this ummah. However, they are human and may say or write certain things which may need clarification or some detail. Often such clarifications and or details are present in other parts of their works and therefore should not be overlooked. It is also relevant that those working also on translating the works of the Salafi scholars give this issue the consideration it deserves. Wallahu a'lam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this effort sincerely done for His majestic face, and that He grants the best reward to its author and the Salafi scholars, and that He grants us a share of that reward, and that He makes it subhanahu wa ta'ala a benefit for all Muslims. The words of Allah in Ayat al-Kursi and the translation of their meanings. Ayat al-Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm, lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard, man dha alladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi-idhnih, يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. الله لا إله إلا هو. None has the right to be worshipped but He, the ever living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists. Neither slumber nor sleep overtake Him. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on earth. Who is He that can intercede with Him except with His permission? He knows what happens to them, His creatures, in the world, and what will happen to them in the hereafter. And they will never compass anything of His knowledge except that which He wills. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth, and He feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving them. And He is the Most High above everything. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We continue starting with the Sheikh's introduction, Hafidhahullah, to the tafsir of Ayat al-Kursi. Here Hafidhahullah said, all praise is due to Allah, the Rabb of al-Alameen. Al-Alameen meaning the creation. I supplicate Allah to have His salah and salam upon our Prophet Muhammad, his household, and all of his companions. Amma ba'd, to proceed, this treatise is the tafsir of Ayat al-Kursi, which is in the Quran, in Surah al-Baqarah, chapter 2, Ayah 255. Presented together with points of benefit deduced from it in the course of establishing its explanation. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us benefit from the knowledge which He bestowed upon us. Certainly He is Al-Jawad, the one who grants generously and loves generosity. Al-Kareem, the one who is bountiful and gracious and loves graciousness. Al-Barr. Al-Barr is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means the one who is most subtle, kind, courteous and generous. The one who is ample in goodness and beneficence, who gives manifold increase of reward to the righteous, and who overlooks many of the faults of the wrongdoers with gracious forgiveness. Whoever brings a good deed, Allah al-Barr rewards him 10 times the like thereof to his credit. And whoever brings the evil or an evil, He azza wa jal decrees for him only the recompense of the like thereof, and they will not be wrong. If somebody intends to do a good deed and he does not do it, then Allah al-Barr will write for him a full good deed, and he does not a full good deed in his account with him. And if he intends to do a bad deed and he does not do it, then Allah will write a full good deed in his account with him. He subhanahu wa ta'ala loves piety towards him, goodness, justice, righteousness, honesty, truthfulness, benevolent regard or conduct to parents and others, as well as every incumbent duty. This is the meaning of Ismullah al-Barr. Ar-Rahim, the Shaykh continues, the one who is most merciful. Then he, Hafidhahullah, starts with the basmala, which is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I begin to write. The title Allah is a alam, meaning an identifying name or title. It is a alam of the majestic, soul, and true God. This noun, which is the name of Allah, applies to none other than Him. He, most majestic and high, has other names, all of which follow from His name Allah. The meaning of the name Allah is the ma'luh, that which is worshipped out of love, magnification, deification, and longing. You can benefit from the Shaykh's sharh explanation on Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, and also on sharh Lam'at Al-I'tiqad. On the meaning of the title Allah. Then the name Ar-Rahman, the one who is most merciful. This is one of Allah's particular names, and which denotes the attribute of very great and extensive mercy, which exists with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a reference, you may find good benefits in Ibn al-Qayyim's Bada'i' al-Fawa'id and in our Shaykh's commentary on Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. Ar-Rahim, the one who bestows mercy. This name denotes that the attribute is related to the marhum, that is the one whom Allah chooses to receive His mercy. So the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim is that in the case of the former Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahma is his attribute. And in the latter, Ar-Rahim or Ar-Rahma is his act. Meaning that he is the one who bestows Ar-Rahma upon others. So when both names come together, that is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, then the meaning in this context is that Allah's mercy is very great and extensive, and that His mercy reaches His creation. This is what is meant by those who say that Ar-Rahman is the one whose mercy encompasses everything, which is the general mercy, and Ar-Rahim is the one who has mercy upon the believers, the special mercy. Since Allah's mercy upon the kafir is a special one in this life only, then it is as if they have no mercy upon them. Because in the hereafter, they will ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save them from hell and admit being wrong. They will admit being wrong. Allah Azza wa Jal will deal with them with His justice, not with His mercy, saying, اخسأوا فيها ولا تكلمون. Remain you in it hell with ignominy and speak not to me, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, which is Surah 23, Ayah 108. The name Ar-Rahim is applied to Allah and may be applied to others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Ar-Rahim, as in Surah Al-Tawbah, which is Surah 9, Ayah 128. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said, some of the names of Allah Ta'ala are restricted to Him only like the names Allah, Ar-Rahman, Al-Khaliq, Ar-Raziq, and so forth. Some other names, however, may be applied to other than Him. As a reference, Bada'i' al-Fawa'id, Sharh al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah, Lam'at al-I'tiqad, Tafsir ibn Kathir, Sharh thalathat al-Usul. These are some explanations related, therefore, to the Bismillah, meaning to the titles or the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the basmala. Bismillah, Allah, Ar-Rahman, and Ar-Rahim. First, Allah saying in Ayat al-Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. Allah la ilaha illa huwa, none has right to be worshipped but He, al-hayyu al-qayyum, the ever-living, the one who is established on his own, self-subsisting, by whom all things subsist. This ayah is the greatest ayah, verse in the book of Allah, just as was ascertained in the response of Ubay bin Ka'b, Abu al-Munzir, radiyallahu anh, to the Prophet's question when he asked him, which ayah in the book of Allah is the greatest? He, Ubay, replied, Ayatul Kursi. Thereupon he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, struck him on his breast and said, may knowledge give you joy, O Abu al-Munzir. This is the complete text, of course, is in Sahih Muslim. That's why whoever recites it at night before going to bed, Allah will appoint a guard for him and stay with him to protect him all night. And no shaitan will come near him till the morning. This came in the famous hadith which was reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, and which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam assigned Abu Huraira to be in charge of the zakah revenue of the month of Ramadan. Someone started to steal some of the foodstuff. When Abu Huraira took hold of him and threatened to take him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I am needy and have many dependents, and I am in great need. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu released him and told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of what happened. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed he told you a lie and he will be coming again. Knowing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says nothing but the truth, Abu Huraira waited for him watchfully. He caught him trying to steal again. He threatened him to take him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but then released him when he complained of his great need and promised not to come again. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam told Abu Huraira, verily he told you a lie and he will return. He returned in fact and was caught stealing for the third time. This time however he told Abu Huraira, I will teach you some words with which Allah will benefit you. I asked, what are they? He replied, whenever you go to bed, recite Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum, al-ayah, till you finish the whole verse. If you do so, Allah will appoint a guard for you, who will stay with you, and no shaitan will come near to you till morning. Upon telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam of this, he said, he really spoke the truth, although he is absolutely a liar. Do you know whom you were talking to these three nights, O Abu Huraira? Abu Huraira said, no. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it was a shaitan. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari. So the ayah, whoever recites it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint a guard that will stay with him to protect him all night long, and no shaitan will come near him till morning. This ayah comprises 10 sentences, each of which has a very great meaning. In the beginning, Allah azza wa jal says, Allahu. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. The word Allah is the title particular to the Most High, that essence is the title which is particular to the Most High essence, meaning the name particular to Allah, the Mighty and Magnificent Himself. The that translated as essence is necessarily qualified with all of the superlative attributes of perfection. This title applies to none other than Allah, whether in times of Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic era, or times of Islam. For Allah is Rabbul Alameen, the Rabb of all creation, the mighty and majestic. We so often read Rabbul Alameen. There are meanings attached to this statement. Rabbul Alameen is the one who nurtures and sustains all the creation with his favors and blessings. He is the one who created them, and he is the one who possesses full and perfect sovereignty over them. He owns them and controls their affairs as he, Azza wa Jal, wishes, and in accordance with his knowledge, wisdom, and justice. Being the Rabb of all creation, he deserves therefore to be singled out for worship. After all, he is the one who prepared them for that which they were created, that is to worship none but him. He supported them with all of their needs, brought down for them the revelation, and sent his messengers to them so that they would be guided to his path. So, the Shaykh says, for Allah is Rabbul Alameen, the mighty and majestic. In the construct of the sentence, the term Allah is what is called in the Arabic grammar mahattul khabar, the subject of the rest of the sentence that follows, or it is called mahattul isnad, meaning the term upon which the rest of the sentence is based. This word, the majestic term Allah, is the subject from the grammar point of view, and what comes after from the attributes to the subject is either the predicate from the terms of the grammar or its explicative opposition. And this is a fa'ida, this is a point of benefit from the linguistic point of view. The first hukum, meaning judgment regarding a thing in relation to an attribute to its subject in Allahu la ilaha illa huwa, is the sentence la ilaha illa huwa. Again, the first hukum, which is the judgment regarding a thing in relation to an attribute to its subject in the whole sentence Allahu la ilaha illa huwa, is the part la ilaha illa huwa. La ilaha illa huwa, ilah means ma'luh, one who is worshipped out of love and magnification. This is the meaning of ilah. None deserves this attribute, of course, this attribute except Allah Ta'ala, the one free from all imperfections and the Most High. All of the aliha, meaning the gods, aliha, the single of it is ilah, all of the aliha, the gods besides Allah, which are worshipped on earth or in the heavens, like the angels, for example, do not deserve to be worshipped. They are called aliha, however, but they do not deserve the right which Allah, Rabbul Alameen, deserves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ لَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And invoke not any other ilah, God, along with Allah, la ilaha illa huwa. None has the right to be worshipped but he. Everything will perish save his face. His is the decision, and to him all of you shall be returned. هذه في سورة القصص هذه الآية, which is Surah 28, Ayah 88. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in his fatawa, commented, the one who worships other than Allah, even though he loves his deity and seems to gain through it some kind of good relations and enjoyment in this life, it is certain that the harm inflicted upon him by his worship is greater than the harm resulting from the enjoyment of eating poisoned food. This is in his fatawa, volume 1, page 24. We go back to the words of the Shaykh Hafidhahullah. The Shaykh cited the evidence in his saying, in Allah saying, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. O mankind, single out your Rabb Allah with all worship. And this is the distinction with all, with respect to all the other deities which is being worshipped, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, deserves to be worshipped alone. So Allah commands here by saying, O mankind, in the translation of the meaning, single out your Rabb with all worship. He who created you, then he subhanahu wa ta'ala tells about himself. He who created you and all those before you, so that you may be of those who attain taqwa. Taqwa, what is the meaning of taqwa? Taqwa means to take a protection from Allah's anger and punishment by doing whatever Allah commands and keeping away from whatever He forbids. All based on knowledge and hikmah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the translation of the meaning reminds us that about Himself, He who created you and all of those before you for an objective, so that you may be of those who attain taqwa. He who has made the earth a resting place for you, and the sky as a canopy, and sent down water, rain from the sky, and brought forth therewith fruit as a provision for you, then do not set up rivals with or rivals unto Allah in worship while you know. What do you mean? What does he mean, subhanahu wa ta'ala, by saying while you know? Meaning while you know that he has no rival and that he alone has the right to be worshipped. He has the right, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be worshipped because since he is the one who created you and made you available for all your kinds of provision, made available for you all kinds of provisions, then it is necessary, it's a necessary duty upon you that you should single him out for all worship and set up no partners along with him in worship. The Sheikh Hafidhahullah continues by saying the word ilah, that which is worship, meaning ma'bud, is a noun of la, is a noun of that word la. In this construct, la is the negative. La is a negation, is a negative. Is the negative which negates al-jins, meaning the kind. Jins meaning kind, class. And of course the kind and the class comprises under it all sorts of things. So la, in the statement, negates jins, negates kind and class. Here in this statement, it denotes the general and absolute negation of all sorts that fall under one kind. Absolute negation. Itself being a text of generalization. Then in this case we read, La ilaha is a pure, clear, and comprehensive negation of all sorts of what? Of all sorts of false gods. And his subhanahu wa ta'ala saying illa huwa means except him, from the grammar point of view, is a badal, is known as a badal, which is substitute for an omitted, for the omitted predicate al khabar of la, which is a word understood in meaning but not stated in words, and which is necessary to complete the meaning. This word here, the omitted meaning, is haqq. Haqq meaning truly and rightfully. Accordingly now, the meaning by implication is La ilaha illa huwa. None has the right to be worshipped. None, negation complete of all sorts of false gods. Then has the right, that's al-haqq, you know, to be worshipped except Allah. Illa huwa comes the confirmation. This great sentence, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa, signifies the emphatic and absolute negation of true divinity except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Complete denial, complete negation. Now regarding his saying Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum, so basically now we can say that the first statement Allahu La Ilaha Illa Huwa, meaning first it speaks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it negates any kind of divinity offered to any so-called God or deity, and then affirms that the true God worthy of being worshipped is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Then Allah says about himself Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum, the ever living Al-Qayyum. These are two of Allah's names, and they comprise the perfection of attributes and actions. They comprise the perfection of attributes and actions. The name Al-Hayy comprises the perfection of attributes. The ever-living comprises the perfection of attributes, and Al-Qayyum, the perfection of actions. The meaning of Al-Hayy is the one who possesses the perfect living. The one who possesses the perfect living. This is inferred from the Al in Al-Hayy. Al in Al-Hayy, which is grammatically used to denote, amongst other things, the combination of all perfection in properties and or applications in the term that it accompanies. This is in Arabic known as Al-Istighraq. Al lil-Istighraq. So grammatically it is used to denote, amongst other things, the combination of all perfection in properties and or applications in the term that it accompanies. Al is a particle of determination and specification. This is also indicated in as far as existence and non-existence and perfection and imperfection are concerned. In fact, if we consider man's life, we find it imperfect because it originates in Adam, in non-existence, and ends in Adam, in non-existence. Ends in Adam. Man, we know, in the present world, will end up in Adam. Otherwise, man will end up in an eternal life in the hereafter. With respect to the hereafter, there will be an eternal life, either a bliss or torment. It is also imperfect as far as his attributes and actions are concerned, meaning for the created, for man. For his hearing, sight, sayings, and actions, all are imperfect. As such, man's life is imperfect from all angles, in existence and in Adam, and with regard to the inseparable attributes of life itself. However, the case with respect to Allah Azza wa Jal, most mighty and majestic, his life is perfect. His life is neither preceded by Adam, by non-existence, nor coming to naught. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتِ, and put your trust and reliance upon the one who is ever living, who does not die. Surah Al-Furqan, which is Surah 25, Ayah 58. I want to remind by something here, is that many times when we talk to people who choose deities from the creation, we tell them that one important criteria that will help you to distinguish between the true God from the from the false one is to look at the attributes of the deity that you worship. In many cases, for example, those who worship Buddha, for example, you ask them the question, what is Buddha? And I myself, every time I asked someone from those who worship Buddha about this, his answer was, he died. And then it's naturally to ask the other question. So, how come you worship someone who dies? And we recite to him from the Quran the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is hay, ever living, that he does not die, la yamut. I mention this because really it helps in situations of da'wah to these people, and also it relates something to them about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the innate nature of man recognizes the perfection, and it starts comparing between imperfect versus perfect. It likes and it links itself to perfection. Back to the words of the Sheikh. Back to the words of the Sheikh now. The Sheikh reminds us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. Whatsoever is on it, the earth will perish, and the face of your Rabb full of majesty and honor will abide forever. This is in the Quran, in Surah Al-Rahman, ayahs 26 and 27. That's why some of the Salaf said, the person should make a connection and not pause when he recites the word perish in the above verse, because this signifies the right manner of perfection. The true aspects of Allah's perfection lies not only in the fact that creation will perish, but also in the baqa, endless existence of Allah, the most mighty and most majestic. In addition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hayah, which is life, is one which is neither accompanied by annihilation nor by adam. Kullu shay'in halikun illa wajha. Everything will perish save his face. In Surah Al-Qasas, ayah 88, Surah 28, ayah 88. Indeed, to Allah, the mighty and majestic, belongs the eternally perfect life. Furthermore, Allah's haya is characterized by the perfection of attributes: hearing, sight, knowledge, ability, might, and all qualities of perfection. That's why the particle al, which denotes al-istighraq with regard to baqa, endless existence, and al-kamal, perfection, was introduced in the beginning of the term al-hay. Al-hay, the particle is for istighraq, as we have mentioned earlier. Regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying al-qayyum, the origin of al-qayyum is the word al-qiyam, and the measure of al-qayyum is fay'ul, and it is a form of intensiveness. The name al-qayyum means the one who is established on his own, self-subsisting, by whom all things subsist. He sustains, protects, prepares, and runs the affairs of all things as he will subhanahu wa ta'ala, in accordance with his knowledge, wisdom, and justice. Allah the Most High said, أَفَمَنْ هُوَ قَائِمٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ, in Surah Al-Ra'd, ayah 33. Is he Allah who takes charge, guards, maintains, provides of every person and know all that he has earned, like any other deities who know nothing? Allah is established on his own, قَائِمٌ بِنَفْسِهِ, as he the Most High says, وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ, and Allah is the rich, free of all wants, worthy of all praise, in Surah At-Taghabun, which is Surah 64, ayah 6. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely free of any need from all creation. He is the self-subsisting. He needs not food, nor drink, for he is the one who feeds, but is not fed. He needs not a supporter, nor a helper, nor a deputy, nor an advisor. He is established in perfection by himself. If someone says, how do we reconcile the above meaning of Al-Qayyum with the saying of Allah the Most High, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. O you who believe, if you help Allah, He will help you. If you help Allah, He will help you. How we can reconcile the above meaning of Al-Qayyum, free of all wants, with the other ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. O you who believe, if you help Allah, He will help you. And also, how do you reconcile it with the saying, وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ. Verily Allah will help those who help Him. As in the first case, Surah Muhammad, 47, Ayah 7. And the second case in Surah Al-Hajj, 22, verse 40. So what is meant by his affirmation that he is, quote, being helped, end of quote? The answer is that the intended meaning is help in the cause of Allah's deen. For he is the one who is in full charge of all things. So everything other than Allah is dependent upon him in existence, in preparation of affairs, and in sustenance. So that's how the meanings can be reconciled. Walhamdulillah. Second, now, in the statement that follows in the ayah, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Neither slumber nor sleep overtakes him. Allah did not say what means he does not sleep. Instead, he said, لا تأخذه, which means does not overtake him, in order to comprise the sleep which overcomes and that arising by choice. If you say does not sleep, it would imply that he does not sleep by choice. However, Allah, the mighty and majestic, does not sleep neither by غلبه, overcoming, nor by choice, because sleep is an imperfect attribute, which contradicts both the perfection of the self and the perfection in relation to others. The person who is given to sleep misses a lot of his work because of his sleeping. Consider, for example, the case of a person who has many people working for him and he sleeps a lot. He is unable to reckon nor manage the business or related matters. This is an imperfection with respect to others. As regard to self-perfection, sleep is a deficiency because it indicates the person's body not tired, or rather getting tired, and thus he needs the sleep as a rest for what has passed, as well as a means to renew his activity in order to engage in what will come ahead. That's why the people of Al-Jannah do not sleep, because of the perfection of their lives and bodies. No illness or the like touches them. If someone says, we know that the person who does not sleep is unable to do so because of some kind of sickness or a defect, while you say that the lack of sleep is a perfection, explain. We say this applies to the creature, and in this case perfection is a relative matter. With respect to Allah, it is perfection. There is no doubt that the person who does not sleep because of an illness has a defect, and that's why he stays always in a state of languor and exhaustion. Thus his welfare will not be established. This is evident from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا, and have made your sleep as a thing for rest, as in Surah An-Naba, which is Surah 78, Ayah 9. Meaning that sleep is something that will discontinue the hardship and tiredness. If Allah would sleep, and far is He above such imperfection, then this would necessitate that He needs to rest. In addition, the creation will be ruined because they are in need of Him. Even the sleeping person is in need of Allah. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ, used to invoke Allah at night when he was about to sleep, saying, إِنْ أَمْسَكْتَ نَفْسِي فَرْحَمْهَا وَإِنْ أَرْسَلْتَهَا فَحْفَظْهَا بِمَا تَحْفَظُ بِهِ عِبَادَكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. If you take my soul, bestow mercy on it and forgive it, as in another narration, and if you release it, then protect it as you protect your righteous slaves. هذا في صحيح البخاري. In short, it is impossible that Allah, the one free of all imperfections and the Most High, sleeps. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنَامْ وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَامْ. Verily Allah does not sleep, and it does not befit him to sleep. هذا في صحيح مسلم. The word لا ينبغي, does not befit, when used in the Quran and Sunnah, means the thing which is absolutely impossible to be. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَانِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا, in Surah Maryam, Surah 19, Ayah 92. But it is not befitting for the majesty of Ar-Rahman that he should beget a son or offspring or children. It should be noted that Allah saying لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم, neither slumber nor sleep overtakes him, signifies what is known as الصفات السلبية, meaning attributes of negation, negating any imperfection and implying perfection. The rule with respect to the names and attributes of Allah the Most High is that there is no such thing as a pure, underline pure, there is no such thing as a pure attribute of negation. Why is this? Because mere negation does not denote any attribute. Just mere negation does not denote any attribute. And therefore it is not considered a praise. In addition, the attributes of negation are of two kinds. General and specific. The meaning of generality in negation is that Allah Most High negates all imperfections, implicitly denoting that all perfection is His. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, which means there is nothing like unto Him. So there is nothing unto Him in His knowledge, ability, hearing, seeing, might, wisdom, mercy, and so forth. In this general negation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not specify the negation. Accordingly, all imperfections are denied and all perfections are denoted, and it is stated that there is nothing like unto Him in all of His perfection. On the other hand, the specificity in negation is to negate specific allegations of imperfection. For example, to deny that defects and drawbacks like forgetfulness, sleep, ignorance, having son or partner, etc., are associated with Allah the Exalted. This is a specific negation. Again, the perfection is implied as against the negation. All these benefits regarding the as-sifat as-salbiyya and the classification of them into general and specific, one can find them in the sharh, the explanation of our sheikhs or our sheikh hafizahullah on sharh al-wasitiyya, or in sharh al-wasitiyya of Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. So there are two kinds of negations, general and specific. The sheikh hafizahullah continues saying, indeed, when as-sifat as-salbiyya are mentioned, it is because they imply the perfection of the attributes which are in contradiction to those of negation. For example, the negation of ignorance stands for the affirmation of Allah's unlimited knowledge. Immediately. Negation of ignorance stands for the affirmation of Allah's unlimited knowledge. The negation of death, which is in contradiction of life, implies the perfection of Allah's attribute of life. So, because of the perfection of Allah's life and qayyumiyyah, then neither slumber nor sleep overtakes him. Because of the perfection of Allah's life and qayyumiyyah, la ilaha illa huwa al-hay, in reference to life, al-qayyum, in reference to al-qayyumiyyah. Al-qayyumiyyah meaning the attribute denoted by Allah's name al-qayyum. Then neither slumber nor sleep overtakes him. The perfection of his life negates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to sleep. And the same is also due to the perfection of his qayyumiyyah, as sleep is needed by the created living creatures due to their imperfection. Although sleeping and eating may be considered as attributes of perfection with respect to man, as a person who does not sleep or eat is considered ill, they are, however, perfection for one, from one angle, and defects from another. They are perfection in the sense that they indicate that the body is sound and healthy, and are defects because the body needs them to function. In reality, therefore, they are defects. Accordingly, not every relative perfection in the creation is a perfection for the Creator. And not every perfection associated with the Creator is a perfection in the created. Eating, drinking, and sleeping are relative perfection with respect to the creature, and negated defects with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah the Most High said about Himself, وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ, and it is He, Allah, who feeds and is not fed, as in Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 40. So this brings us to the end of the statement, Al-Hay, Al-Qayyum. So we finished now going over the beginning of the ayah, mainly Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. We will continue inshallah this discussion with respect to the rest of the verse or the ayah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us righteousness in our heart, in terms of sincerity, and in our actions in terms of compliance with his deen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. With respect to the listener, that as well as the person who is watching this tape, it's better to cut it into separate sections in terms of watching or listening to it, because this is better in terms of taking your notes and your points of benefit. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.